Lord of all, it's truly amazing and marvelous that you love us and know us and care for us. We ask you to lead us in the year ahead into the path that takes us to you, that we may know you better and serve you better. And as we walk that path, we remember all those who are sick and hurting, who are without work, who have addiction problems, whose marriages are falling apart, who wonder if they will ever be married. And we walk with those who celebrate new birth and new joy and new life and new hope. All that we have and all that we are, we bring it to you, Lord, and place it in your hands. Hear the names and needs of those we love. For prayers spoken and unspoken, we thank you, God, that you hear us. We thank you that you love us. And we pray together now as your people, as your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. Michael is in Birmingham having a late Christmas with his father. And so I thank you for praying for him as he returns today. And we will welcome him back today. Would you pray with me now, please? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we begin a new sermon series based on your questions. For about 7 weeks, you were given the opportunity to submit questions by completing the sentence, Dear God, why? Or Dear God, if? Dear God, how come? Over 100 questions were turned in. Some of you, without knowing it, turned in the same question as someone else. And some of you made me laugh with your questions. But I think every question that I read was either one that I've already asked myself or have been asked by someone else. Life leads us all to the same questions, it seems. In the 5 weeks that we have for this sermon series, we will not answer every one of your questions. But we will cover the most common themes and categories into which your questions naturally fell. Today's message, I hope, will answer all those questions that had to do with God's attitude toward us, God's desire for us. Does God want a relationship with us? God, are you there? How can we know you're there if we can't see you or hear you? What can we know about you, God? Do you care about the same things I care about? Dear God, do you care about me? In our own lives, with flesh and blood people around us, we know how to answer those questions. I know the people in my life who care about me, both of them. And I can tell you who they are by how they treat me. And by how attentive they are to me, by how much time they set aside to spend with me, because attention and time are the only ways you get to know someone, by spending time with them and paying attention to them when you're with them. It's been said that you can learn to like someone by finding out what makes them laugh. But you can only truly learn to love someone by finding out what makes them cry. So there is this vulnerability in love, where we see weaknesses as well as strengths, where we celebrate success but dare to share failures. I don't need a friend or lover who is perfect. I need one who is real, sometimes weak, sometimes strong, but always real. And there is that element of intimacy that comes from studying another, from being attentive to them. When we care about someone, we notice even the smallest details about them. The people who care the most about me know the most about me. Now, what does God know about us? The video gave us an idea of that. I think every month or so, it would do us all good just to read Psalm 139. I suggest you just mark it in your calendar, like a dental appointment or something else that you do. Read this psalm often this year and get an idea of how much God knows you and loves you and cares for you. I'm reading today selected verses from the Message version of the Bible. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. You shaped me first inside and out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. And then guide me, O Lord, on the road to eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How attentive is God to us? How much does God know about us? Everything there is to know, God already knows. What has been, what is yet to be, God knows. The Bible says God cares so much for you that God knew you even before you were born. God has studied you so closely, Matthew says, that God even knows how many hairs are on your head. God loves you so much that God watches over every minute of every day and night, even right here as we're together. Even as you wrote your questions, even as you think them now, God knows you perfectly. And that can either be very comforting or kind of creepy. But if you believe in God at all, then you probably already believe that God already knows everything about you. What we often have trouble believing is that God knows us and still loves us. If God knows everything about us, then God must know all of our worst stuff, our cruelest thoughts, our most voracious lusts, our most heinous and hurtful sins, our indifference and laziness toward Him. And if God knows all of that, why would God ever want anything to do with us? That's our real question, isn't it? Not does God know me, but since God knows me, how can God love me? Fear of God is one of the things that keeps us from knowing God better. And the truth is, many of us never get beyond that little bit. We know just that much about God. And we spend the rest of our lives fearing God, waiting for God's punishment. Jesus said, God's not like that at all. There's more to know about God than that little bit. In Luke 15, Jesus is trying to teach us what God is like. And he tells this story about two sons. The younger son is tired of his waiting for his life to change. He's tired of working on the family farm. He's tired of always living in somebody else's shadow by somebody else's rules. So he asks for his inheritance while his father is still living. Think about that. You go to your mom or your dad and you say, I am tired of waiting for you to die so that I can get my hands on your money. Can I just have it now, please? That is so cold. And this father, who knows his son better than the son knows himself, gives the inheritance to the son. Well, you know the story. The son squandered his wealth in riotous living, the scriptures say. And one day, so hungry that pig food looks good, the son thinks about his father, and he remembers that little bit he knows about him, and he decides that if he's really sorry, and if he really apologizes just right, then maybe his father will take him back, not as a son, but just hire him as a servant. To us, that seems like a pretty gracious thing for that father to do for that gold-digging son. But Jesus says that son didn't know the father very well at all, just like many of us don't. Because that father every day remembered his son and missed his son and looked for his son and hoped for his return. And Jesus says when that messed up, filthy, sorry excuse for a son finally came dragging himself back home, the father saw him and ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. The word used for kiss in that story actually means smothered him with kisses. So what is God like? God is like a father who misses his son, who misses his daughter. And when we finally come dragging back to God, afraid because of what God knows about us, hoping that if we apologize just right, maybe God will take us back. This story, Jesus says, we really don't know God very much at all. Because our God is the God who runs to us and throws his arms around us and smothers us with kisses. God doesn't want or need our sorry apologies. What God wants is us. God wants us with him. And that picture of God alone is enough to make me want to know God more. Please don't let fear of God keep you from knowing God better. We can know God more in the very same ways we can know each other more. It's all about time. It's all about attention. It's about choosing and making time to spend together. The great God of the universe knows you perfectly, and yet still he wants to smother you with kisses. Do you give God the time of day? Do you give God any time in your day? Here are some ways we can know God better. Read the Bible. Read it often. The Bible is God's love letter to you and me. It's our primary source of revelation about God. The more you read the Bible, the more you will know God and know about God. When you read the Bible, stop and ask yourself, what does this say about God? What does God do? What does God like? What does God dislike? Study God the way you would a friend or a lover. You can know God as well as you know your spouse or anyone else. Then spend time with God in prayer. Prayer is listening and talking to God. Talk to God about your life, sharing your hurts, your fears, your dreams, your hopes. It's amazing how talking things over with God will bring clarity to our lives. If you have trouble focusing, talk out loud. If you're embarrassed to do that, write your prayers. Spend time with God. Prayer isn't just talking to God, though. It's also listening to God. We're never really friends with someone if they only listen to us and we never listen to them. Listen to God. Sometimes just sit back and listen. If it's quiet and you don't hear God giving you a to-do list or a to-become list, then maybe all God wants you to do is rest and enjoy His presence. Sitting with Him, trusting, spending time with God. Spouses and friends don't have to talk 24/7. We find that annoying, in fact. Sometimes it's just nice to sit with another and share a moment of refreshment, like having a Coke in the swing, just you and God. Having coffee in the morning on the porch, just you and God. Now, prayer is hard, and I won't pretend that it's not. Prayer can be the 5 minutes you spend in the morning before you head out the door, or the 5 minutes you spend at night before you drift off to sleep. But 5 minutes in here and there aren't going to build a very deep friendship, are they? Maybe once a week you could spend your lunch hour just with God. Eat by yourself, read a little scripture or a devotion, and just listen to what God says to your heart. Just spend the time with God. I have a friend who does this a couple days every week. I see him often when I'm out to lunch with my friends. And you know, this man has never once seemed lonely. We date the people that we're interested in. We schedule trips away with our spouses or our close friends. When was the last time you spent an evening just with God? When's the last time you took a day trip just with God? Of course, God is always with us. But the point is, we are not always with God. We are worried and distracted by so many things. And a friendship based on good intentions won't last very long. I challenge you today to begin planning your times with God. Plan a little time every day. Plan a longer time every week. Plan maybe an evening or a half day away every month. You can know God. The question is, will you? Another way to learn more about God is to spend time with people who already know God. They will share what they've learned. Sometimes friends remind me of those God truths I've temporarily forgotten. And they pray for me. I pray for you to know God better, a little bit more each day. Until that day, we each begin to look a little bit more like God. They say that people who've been married a long time begin to look alike and sound alike. Sometimes they act alike. They can finish each other's sentences. People who've spent a lot of time together know each other so well, they can predict. I can tell you my husband is not going to want mayo. He wants mustard and pickles. We can know God like that. We can know God's likes and dislikes. Sometimes we can predict how God will act, and usually we can predict how God wants us to act. Friends who know God help us know God better. Dear God, how can we know you? The bottom line is simple. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and God will come near to you." We can know God better simply by trying to know God better. We just try, and God comes near. So we can act like it's hard, and we can act like it's a mystery, and we can act like God can't be found anywhere, but God's Word says, if we draw near to God, God draws near to us. Worship is one of the ways we draw near to God. That's why we do this thing each week. And that's why each week I don't want to miss an opportunity to worship somewhere. Here, we gather with other people who know God and want to know God. We gather to read the Scripture, to talk and listen to God, to think about God, and to remember and to be reminded how much God loves us and wants to be with us. You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. And our God, in His great love for us, gave us Jesus. Jesus who came as a baby in a manger. Jesus who came as a Savior on a cross. Jesus who will come in power and might. And Jesus who comes to us still. in the bread and the wine. This Sunday, we get the privilege of starting this year off by sharing in communion. It's our custom to come by the center aisle and receive the elements and then return by the outer aisle to your seats. It's also my privilege to tell you that in the Methodist Church, we believe this is the Lord's table. And you don't have to be a member of this church or any church anywhere. If you want to come and receive these gifts from God, then please come and do so. I invite our servers to come. Great God of all, it takes our breath away that you care about us and notice us. Just once this week, Lord, I'd like to take your breath away. Because of our single-minded purpose and devotion toward you, may we learn to love you as much as we possibly can. Amen. Would you please stand? I pray this week that you go and remember this God who chases you, looking for you, waiting for a chance to love you. And I pray that this week you make time for this great God of the universe. Go in the name of the God we love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.